Perek Yud Beis opens with the Lashon Hara that Aaron and Miriam speak about their brother Moshe. Rashi quotes Chazal that they were gossiping about the fact that Moshe had separated from his wife Zipporah. After all, they reasoned, we're also prophets, we're also Nevi'im, and we haven't separated from our spouses. After mentioning this fact, and that Hashem comes to the defense of Moshe, attesting to his unique and special humility, the Torah then goes on to talk about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu very much endorses the superiority of Moshe as a different type of Navi. Yes, Miriam and Aaron, you are prophets, but you are not Moshe. He was different than you. And after making a somewhat vague description of what makes Moshe's prophecy somewhat unique, the Torah then says in a very famous phrase in Pasuk Ches, Peh el peh adaber bo. The Torah attests, Hashem says, that there's a certain level of intimacy and directness in Moshe's nevuah and Moshe's relationship with Hashem. He speaks to Hashem, so to speak, mouth to mouth, peh el peh, and not in a vision or in riddles the way other prophets receive their prophecy. This pasuk, of course, should be read in conjunction with another pasuk towards the end of the Torah in Dvarim Perek Lamed Daled, Pasuk Yud. The Torah once again attests to the uniqueness of Moshe and the unique superiority of his prophecy. L'kam Navi Od B'Yisrael K'Moshe. There never will be another prophet like Moshe. Asher Yadu Hashem Panim El Panim. That he knew Hashem, he experienced Hashem, he communicated with Hashem face to face. So we have the Torah very strongly endorsing the idea and declaring the uniqueness and superiority of the prophecy of Moshe. And not only do the Psukim themselves already initiate this idea, the Ramban and other Mefarshim tease out a little bit some of the specifics of the uniqueness and superiority of Moshe's Nevuah here in their commentary to our Parsha, but the place to look, the single best place and most comprehensive presentation of this topic is actually in the writings of the Rambam. The Rambam discusses this in a number of places, but the initial and most important place he discusses it is in his Perush HaMishnayos, an introduction to Perchelik in Maseches Sanhedrin, where there the Rambam very famously articulates the 13 principles of faith, what have become known as the Yud Gimel Ikarim, or even in subsequent generations, the Animamin, the 13 principles that a Jew has to believe to be a faithful and loyal Jew, things we must believe, foundations of Jewish thought, theology, and belief. And even though the Rambam already in his sixth principle of faith says that we are required to believe in the phenomenon of prophecy, the Rambam says that the Ikar Emunah, the Yesod HaEmunah number 7, is that we are required to believe in the uniqueness of Moshe's prophecy. In other words, not only do we believe in prophecy generally, but that's not enough. It is so important for us to believe in the uniqueness and superiority of Moshe's Nevuah that in fact it deserves and receives its own independent, separate Ikar Emunah. That's how important it is that we must believe not only in prophecy, but we must believe in Moshe's unique and superior prophecy above all others. Before the Rambam gets into some of the specifics of what makes Moshe's prophecy unique, he tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was Avihem Shekol HaNevi'im. He was the father, so to speak, of all prophets, those who came before him or after him. This is echoing a comment of the Sifrei in Ha'azinu, refers to the Rambam as Avi HaNevi'im. Not only that, says the Rambam, he was Nivchar Mikol Min HaAdam. Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest human being to ever live. And not only that, says the Rambam, amazingly, his understanding of Hashem was so incredible on such a high level that it actually elevated him to the point that to some extent he was no longer human, but in fact actually angelic. And his physical senses had, to a large extent, stopped working. They weren't necessary. And he had become almost like a pure intellect, or what we might refer to as kind of a pure soul, a spiritual being. The Meshech Chachma, in his introduction to Sefer Shmos, elaborating on, working off of this Rambam, says that Moshe Rabbeinu had reached the point where he pretty much had no more free will. He had no Bechir Chavshis. Even though usually we think that that is an absolute cardinal principle of what it means to be a human being, that we have agency, that we're responsible for our decisions, says the Meshech Chachma, that's exactly the point. That's true for most people. But Moshe Rabbeinu was different. That's what the Rambam means when he says he was pretty much angelic, and that is that he had become so one on intellectual, spiritual level with Hashem that there was very little separation, and therefore it was really no meaningful free choice at that point anymore. What were the four ways in which the Rambam says Moshe was in fact concretely different in his prophecy? Number one, says the Rambam, unlike other prophets who needed some kind of intermediary, Moshe Rabbeinu needed no such thing. As the Pasuk says, Peh al Peh, he spoke directly to God. Number two, other Nevi'im only received their prophecy when they were sleeping, so that they would have no physical senses active to interfere with the prophecy. However, Moshe was different, as we've seen, because he didn't have that many physical senses to begin with, and therefore Moshe could receive his prophecy even during the day, even while he was awake. Number three, other prophets, despite receiving the prophecy through an intermediary, the process of prophecy was so incredible and so terrifying that they were almost to the point of actual death from the experience. Says the Rambam, the sheer terror of the prophetic experience, even with the intermediary, was to such an extent that the prophets usually almost died and lost almost all their physical strength from the experience. However, Moshe was completely different. And for him, Pel Pe Adaber, it was just as casual, just as intimate, and just as normal and not scary at all, like talking to a friend, and therefore Moshe experienced none of that the way other prophets did. Fourth and finally, says the Rambam, other Nevi'im could prepare and make themselves perfected, but even then they can only hope and wait that Hashem would initiate Nevuah with them. But other prophets could not initiate Nevuah, a prophetic experience, on their own. Moshe here too, says the Rambam, was different and unique. Moshe could initiate and start the conversation with God. He could initiate a prophetic experience whenever he wanted, and basically he was therefore at a nearly constant prophetic experience. These are the four very specific and concrete ways that the Rambam delineates Moshe's prophecy was different, unique, and superior to all other prophets. The Rambam echoes this in his Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, in Perek Zayin, Halacha Vav, as well as in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, Perek Ches, Halachos Aleph through Gimel, where he emphasizes that the reason we believe in Nevuas Moshe and its superiority and its uniqueness was not because of any of the many miracles he did for us when we were in the desert, rather because we saw with our own eyes and heard with our own ears Hashem speaking to him on Har Sinai, and not at all surprisingly, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Perek Gimel, Halacha Ches, includes in the category of apikoros and someone who has no chelik in olam haba, someone who denies nevuas Moshe. There's a fascinating debate as to when this unique status of Moshe took hold. Was it already at the Sneh? Did it have to wait till the Torah? But that will have to be for another discussion.